Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into this special Tuesday edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here with you. We're on tonight and not last night because the Nashville Predators post-game show really bled into the 6 o'clock hour, so we figured why not have a full show tonight instead of an abbreviated show last night. And last night, or I should say yesterday afternoon, the Nashville Predators took care of business against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's right, for the first time in six games this season, the Preds beat the Lightning. They win 4-1. It was probably their best effort of the season as they were up 3-0, then 3-1, then added an empty netter for good measure to take down the defending champs for the first time this season. And we have a lot to discuss, not only that game, but the upcoming trade deadline coming up in just less than a month. And joining me here this evening is Adam Vingan of The Athletic. Adam, it's been a while since we've had you on Preds Insiders.
It has been a while. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's before we get into the trade deadline hot and heavy, let's get into that Preds-Bolts game yesterday. The Preds came out with a solid first period. They played with fire a little bit, and then they were able to add on to the lead. And Eli Tolvanen opening the scoring for the Nashville Predators early in the second period with an even strength goal, not a power play goal, but an even strength goal for one Eli Tolvanen. He has 6 goals now on the season. Tolvanen just continues to impress for this Preds team.
Yes, he does. And for a lot of Predators fans, it's been a long time coming. Certainly when Eli Tolvanen signed with the Predators, I think it was 3 years ago now. Time has certainly flown since then. But we expected Eli Tolvanen to be a player who could make an immediate impact in the NHL. And that didn't happen, of course. He has spent most of the past few seasons as a member of the Milwaukee Admirals. And I think one thing that gets lost whenever we talk about Eli Tolvanen is the fact that he's only 21 years old. He'll be 22 next month. But we've been talking about him for such a long time. We think he's an older player, or it seems like he should be an older player, maybe 23, 24, but he's only 21. So although Eli Tolvanen didn't come into the NHL right away and score 20 goals and do all the things that we thought he would do when he had that great rookie season in the KHL in, I think, 2017-18, I think what we're seeing from him this season, he has 6 goals, 4 on the power play, those 4 power play goals, the most among NHL rookies. I think what we're seeing from him is finally what we expected to see from him. It's still a work in progress, but I've really liked what I've seen. That goal he scored yesterday, not very many players can score that goal. It was a sharp angle goal. It's a tough angle, as we like to call it. But he put it in such a precise spot past Curtis McElhinney from a sharp angle. That's a goals scorer goal, a goal scorer's goal. And that's what Eli Tolvanen is. So the rest of his game is developing, and I think he's looked really good. But this season, I think we've seen exactly what the Predators hope to see from a offensive standpoint when they drafted him a few years ago.
Yeah, to your point, the Tolvanen goal last night, just an absolute rocket, beating Curtis McElhinney. And who knows if that game is any different if Andrei Vasilevsky's in net, but I'll say the Preds put forth a great effort. They win 4-1, like I said, at the top. Tolvanen, Arvidsson, Yarncroak, and Ekholm with the empty netter. Those were your 4 goal scorers. Cali Yarncroak with 4 points yesterday. Adam, what has gotten into Cali Yarncroak this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. A 4-point night for him, I believe his first career 4-point game. He's had multiple 3-point games, but his first 4-point game. And the one thing that we have known about Cali Yarncroak since he became a member of this team, I think 7 years ago, which is hard to believe, but it's been that long, is that he can do everything. He can play any forward position. He can play on any line. He can play on special teams. And when players get hurt, he's usually the first guy that gets called to fill that particular role. And, you know, considering all of the injuries the Predators have had, Matt Duchene on injury reserve, let's limit it to forwards here. Matt Duchene on injury reserve, Ryan Johansson missed time earlier in the season, Luke Cunningham's on injured reserve. You know, Callie Yarncroke has stepped up, and he, I believe he missed some time earlier this season as well, but he has stepped up in a big way and been that versatile Swedish Army knife that we know that he can be. And, you know, he is the kind of player, Peter Laviolette talked about it when he was here, John Hines has talked about it. You know, he is a player that coaches can trust in any situation. So considering the struggles and the injury problems the Predators have had at all positions, but particularly up front, Callie Yarncroke having these big moments certainly helps them get by.
So Callie Yarncroke with a shorthanded goal yesterday. And at the end of the day, we've talked about the goal scoring, but I don't think the Preds win that game without Pecorine. Pecorine, 38 saves with some absolute doozies along the way. And Adam, I have found myself this season just sitting back and appreciating what we're seeing out of Pecorine, because first of all, he's coming off a season, his worst season in the NHL, where the lasting impression was the 8-goal drubbing that he gave up against Edmonton before the season pause before COVID last year. And, you know, he's been playing pretty darn well this season. He's had some clunkers mixed in, but he's also shown a lot of glimpses of what the old 35 looked like. And Pecorine, who knows if this is it for him this season. And I know for me personally, I've sat back and enjoyed what we've seen out of Pecorine this season, because who knows how much longer we'll see that.
He was great against the Lightning. And you just have to think about, we talked about the injuries. This team doesn't have its top defensive pair right now. Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis are both on injured reserve. Mark Borowiecki is injured and is listed as week to week. Dante Fabro was suspended for 2 games. So it's been a patchwork defensive core. We've seen Jeremy Davies come in and play. We've seen Alex Carrier. We've seen Ben Harper. But this team's defense has not been at full strength for quite a while. And Pecorine, I feel like, has done an admirable job behind that patchwork defense. But yesterday was a great performance from him. I think of that one play that he made that I think Chris Mason on the broadcast likened to a player in basketball going up for a rebound, where the puck was going one way, his body was going another, and he reached up and he grabbed the puck. And then when we got the overhead replay, that puck was definitely going in the net if Pekka didn't reach up, use his 6'7" frame and grab that puck out of the air. And that's the athleticism that allowed Pecorine to be a workhorse in this league for close to a decade and win a Vezina trophy a few years ago. So we know that Pecorine isn't the goaltender he used to be. He's 38 years old. We know that time is running out in his career. But every once in a while, he has these performances that make you think about the Pekka of old, and that he's still, and the old man still got it. And I think yesterday was a prime example of that.
So Pecorine has made 7 straight starts ever since UC Saros went down with an upper body injury in that game against Carolina back on March 2nd. It does sound like UC Saros is on the verge of returning. John Hines saying after the game that a return against Florida this weekend is possible. The Preds visit the Florida Panthers Thursday night and then Saturday afternoon for a matinee. And Adam, I know UC Saros getting back in there would give Pecorine a nice break after all this hockey that Pecorine has been thrust into here in the last couple of weeks.
Yes, and the good thing about this particular road trip is that all of the games are spaced out. The Predators don't play again until Thursday. I'm sure they're enjoying their day off in Southern Florida right now. We're all jealous, even though the weather in Nashville today was quite beautiful, nice and warm. So perhaps not too much different than what the Predators players are experiencing in South Florida. Also, they can't really go anywhere because of the COVID-19 protocols in place. So they'd have to enjoy that nice weather from their hotel room, which isn't the same. But the point is that UC Saros you know, as John Hines said on Sunday, is the injured player closest to returning. He's been practicing with the team, and the hope is that he can play in one of these remaining games on the road trip, and that would be great. I think Pekka remarked after the game yesterday afternoon that it's been a long time since he's played this many games in a row. I think it's been at least 2 or 3 years since he's played this many games in a row. He used to be used to doing that,
yep.
But not so much in recent years. So it would be helpful for UC Saros to get some games in. So hopefully for the Predators in the next couple of games, UC Saros will make his return and Pekka Rinne will get a much deserved break.
Yeah, the end of the road trip is Sunday night in Dallas. So Thursday night in Florida, Saturday afternoon in Florida, and then Sunday night in Dallas. We'll see if UC Saros is able to return for any of those games. And speaking of the goalies, Adam, I thought Pekka Rinne last night had an interesting comment post-game about the rookies. And there have been a lot of rookies come in amidst all the injuries and the lackluster play. A lot of players from Chicago in the AHL or Milwaukee in seasons prior have been getting an opportunity at the NHL level. And Pekka Rinne was asked after the game last night about the rookies contributing to this roster and contributing in the room and whether or not they're breathing life, new life into this team right now. And here was Pekka Rinne's response.
It's a big factor. And the fact that they play big minutes, obviously just the position of defensemen. We have plenty of those guys right now, and they're taking up a lot of ice time, and you know, it's fun to watch. You know, they're playing great and bringing a lot of energy, and for sure tonight, you know, all of the young guys, they were a big factor that we won the game. But it was almost necessary for us. You know, everybody knows we've been struggling, and it was a big win.
So that was Pekka Rinne after the win last night, talking about the rookies making their contributions, not only in the 4-1 victory over the Lightning, but here in recent weeks. Adam, you know, one of the silver linings for me in what has been a tumultuous season so far for the Nashville Predators is the fact that they are getting an opportunity to see what these kids have. And they're putting some youngsters into roles that they're probably not ready for, but sometimes that's the best way to learn. And that's just being thrown into the fire. So for you, Adam, who are one or two rookies outside of Elli Tolvanen that have really stood out in the last week or two that you feel like have some staying power for the Preds?
I think first and foremost, it's Jeremy Davies. Of course, Jeremy Davies was part of the return the Predators received in the PK Subban trade with the New Jersey Devils at the 2019 draft. He made his NHL debut, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, against the Carolina Hurricanes. And in his first game, he was quarterbacking the top power play and had, I believe, more than 5 minutes of power play time in his NHL debut. Now, that says a lot about how much they trust a kid to contribute to a team. And John Hines talked about this a little bit last week, specifically talking about Jeremy Davies, Elli Tolvanen, Alex Carrier to an extent, that these are power play players in the American League. And if you're going to recall them to the NHL, you need to put them in those same positions where they're going to succeed or positions that they might be used in future seasons. And Jeremy Davies quarterbacked a good power play for the Milwaukee Admirals last year. He has done the same for the Chicago Wolves this year in the American League. So to get that opportunity to play on the top power play unit with Elli Tolvanen and Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson and Mikael Granlund, you know, right away, you know, that says a lot about Jeremy Davies' potential. And I've liked what I've seen from him. I think he has, as to use that word again, the potential to be an important member of this team's defensive core the next several years. So he has really stood out to me. I think his decisions with the puck are great. He's a great skater, offensively gifted. A lot of the same things you hear about Predators defensemen past and present. So I do think he fits that mold. And I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him so far.
You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth alongside Adam Vingan of The Athletic here this evening. Coming up next, the trade deadline is coming up on April 12th. It will be here before we know it, and teams will start dealing before we know it because of some of the quarantine issues going across the borders. So what do we expect out of the Preds at the trade deadline? Who's staying and who's going? That's all coming up next. He's Adam Vingan. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into Preds Insiders here on a Tuesday, ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth alongside Adam Vingan here this evening. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Dr. Kelly Rice. For all your dental or sleep apnea needs, visit KellyERice.com. I bring Adam Vingan back into the fold of The Athletic. And Adam, last segment we talked a lot about Pekka Rinne and the fact that he made 38 saves yesterday in a big 4-1 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. An impressive performance for the Nashville Predators. And Pekka Rinne, we don't know if this is the end of the line for him. He has not stated whether or not this will be his final season. It is the final season of his contract with the Nashville Predators. And there's been some scuttlebutt, Adam, around Pekka Rinne's immediate future with the Nashville Predators and whether or not he would be considered for a trade. And you had an opportunity to catch up with Pekka Rinne last week. You came out with a story this week at theathletic.com simply with Pekka Rinne stating that this is the team that he wants to retire with. He does not prefer to be traded to a Stanley Cup contender, even though the Nashville Predators are not one of them.
First, I would like to commend you on your use of the word scuttlebutt. I am a big fan of that particular word. So I would like to commend you for usage of scuttlebutt. But to your point about the article that you're referencing, I spoke to Pekka Rinne last week, the article published Monday at The Athletic. And I talked to Pekka about a number of things, but the one thing I wanted to talk to him about was, as you said, Ryan, this could be his last year. He has been open about the possibility that this could be his last year. The Predators, at this rate, are unlikely to qualify for the postseason. It would be the first time since 2014 that they would not qualify for the postseason. And to be clear, although the Predators did not make it out of the qualifying round of the postseason last year, that does count, according to the NHL, as a postseason appearance. So they have made the playoffs each year since 2015, or the postseason, semantics. But I asked Pekka Rinne if he had any thought, if it had crossed his mind, about joining a contending team at the deadline and making a push for a Stanley Cup in the twilight of his career. There have been many examples of this throughout NHL history, the most famous being Ray Bourque, who retired on top after winning the Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche in 2001. But Pekka told me that he had not thought about that, that he believes in this team. His quote was, quote, "I do want to retire as a Predator." The organization, I believe, feels the same way. They do not want to see him go anywhere. So I think it was good to hear that. I think we all expected that to be the answer. But no one would have faulted Pekka Rinne for saying, this is my last chance, or could be my last chance, to win a Stanley Cup. And if the Predators, unfortunately, are unable to make that a reality this season, maybe I should go chase a cup with another team. I can still retire as a Predator. I can sign a one-day contract, or, you know, I will always be associated with the Predators no matter what happens. But Pekka Rinne is grateful for the fact that he's been with this organization for more than 15 years, since being drafted in 2004. He wears it as a badge of honor that he has only played for one team, which is a rarity in sports these days. So I just think it speaks to the kind of person we have all come to know about Pekka Rinne. To him, you know, sticking through the hard times with this team is something he's prepared to do.
Having said that, you know, I don't think any of us are surprised with that, with Pekka Rinne, knowing that he's been here since day one. He's loved this franchise with all of his heart. I don't think any of us, like you said, would have faulted him for wanting to go to a contender. And we also know how fiercely competitive he is and how badly he wants to win a Stanley Cup. If this was a different player, like player X, do you feel like this could be a different scenario? But since it is Pekka Rinne and he's always called Nashville his NHL home, that he will likely turn into one of the the unicorns in sports nowadays, which is staying with one franchise for his entire career?
Yeah, I think when it comes to players on this team, Pecorine has limited control over where he can go. He has a modified no trade clause that allowed him before the season to submit a list of 10 teams he would accept a trade to. Once that list is submitted, I understand it's final, so he can't ask for the list back and change it around and then resubmit it. I do not know which teams are on that list. But I think when you consider how important Pecorine has been to this franchise, and we all know it, we don't have to go over it. We know how important Pecorine has been to the Nashville Predators for close to 20 years. I think he should be able to make the decision about what he wants. If the Predators hypothetically were to have someone interested in Pecorine and they went to him and said, Pekka, team X, that's not on your list, is interested in trading for you. And Pekka, if Pekka were to say, I want to see it through, that should be the answer. I think this is the one time. Sports is not a sentimental business. We know this. We've experienced it with Shea Weber in 2016 when he was traded for PK Subban. But I think in this particular instance, I think the sentimental value of Pecorine should outweigh any tangible asset that the Predators could get for him on the trade market.
So from one longtime Nashville Predator to another, Matthias Ekholm has been getting a lot of attention on the trade market. Matthias Ekholm has not only this season left on his contract, but next season as well at a very, very favorable price, easy for me to say, at $3.75 million, and is a very, very attractive piece to any contender for this season or next season to be added to a playoff contender for two playoff runs. Now, there have been a lot of reports of whether or not Matthias Ekholm, of what he could draw on the trade market. And Elliot Friedman on his 31 Thoughts podcast earlier this week for Sportsnet shed a little bit more light on just how big of a trade chip Matthias Ekholm is and what kind of price the Preds could be looking at in said trade. Here is a back and forth between Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick.
Is Nashville now in a situation where they're saying, we have quality players here, we're going to probably end up going through a rebuild. If you want our guys, it's going to cost you a lot, but we have the chance to make your team better. Are the Nashville Predators now the potential kingmakers in the NHL?
I think so, because one of the questions I always ask, Jeff, is there anybody new out there? Are there any names out there on the trade block that, you know, I hadn't heard? And not everyone's going to tell you, but you always try. Mm-hmm. And I still get the sense, and I heard this weekend, that the name that makes the most difference to teams that get him is Ekholm. He's the guy.
Yep.
He's the biggest name out there right now that I know of and that people are willing to tell me who's a difference maker. Now, they're looking for a Muzzin kind of package, two prospects and a first rounder, and someone's going to pay that.
All right, that was Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick earlier this week on the 31 Thoughts podcast. Two prospects and a first-round pick, Adam, is said to be the asking price for Matthias Ekholm. We'll see if a competitive trade market for Matthias Ekholm specifically could drive the trade market up for him. Elliot Friedman went on to say that five teams, Boston, Winnipeg, Montreal, Philadelphia, and Toronto, are the most likely landing spots for Ekholm. Adam, I ask you this. Do you consider it a slam dunk that the Preds are going to be trading Matthias Ekholm?
Let's call it a finger roll, because I can't slam dunk, but finger rolls are just as effective as slam dunks. So I'll call it a finger roll, which still has a very high chance of going into the net. That's my basketball terminology for the hockey show.
Thank you.
I think it's more likely than not that it happens, and it just makes too much sense. We know how important Matthias Ekholm is to the Nashville Predators, especially with Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis out of the lineup. Matthias Ekholm has been the de facto number one defenseman. We know that he possesses the qualities that so many teams look for in a modern defenseman. He's big. He skates well. He can do everything on both sides of the puck. He's good defensively. He's got good offensive instincts. You know, for me, if you're looking to change the look of the team, you're looking to start building for the future, I think trading Matthias Ekholm is it's imperative to do so. And what to go with what Elliot said, last month I wrote a story where I talked about the five Predators players I think they should move before the deadline. And in talking to people around the league, the Jake Muzzin deal came up more than once in terms of the framework for a potential Ekholm deal, which, as Elliot mentioned, was a first-round pick and two prospects. It was a forward prospect and the signing rights to a defensive prospect. The other trade that came up in conversation was the Alec Martinez trade between the Kings and the Golden Knights. Martinez was worth 2 second-round picks for the LA Kings when they made that trade last year. But I think Ekholm is definitely worth a first-round draft pick and at least one quality prospect, if not two. So I think the Predators should absolutely do it. It will be hard because Matthias Ekholm is incredibly important to the success of this team and has been for a long time. He's a vocal leader. He's an intense competitor. But I think it would be the right move for the long-term the long-term outlook of the franchise to make a move.
So I'm going to ask you a question totally in hindsight, because we all know hindsight's always 20/20. Do you feel like David Poile and the Nashville Predators made a mistake by re-signing Ryan Ellis, knowing that now they're going to have to trade Matthias Ekholm because they can't afford to keep him?
Well, that's a good question. And the one thing that you would have to factor into this as well, which I did not mention in the previous answer, is the expansion draft. When all of these teams that Elliot mentioned, who are reportedly interested in Matthias Ekholm, those teams are going to have to figure out their expansion lists and how Matthias Ekholm fits into those lists. Because if you're acquiring Matthias Ekholm, you have to protect him. You can't risk trading a first round pick and multiple assets for one playoff run when he's under contract for another. So the Predators need to trade Ekholm because the likelihood of them protecting him in the expansion draft was probably low anyway, because you would think that Dante Fabro would have a leg up because he's younger and under team control. So hindsight being 20/20, I'm not sure if the signing of Ryan Ellis would have played a huge role in what might have happened with Matthias Ekholm. I don't know. I don't think it's as much as that they can't afford him as that when you think about the expansion draft and the way this team is trending, I think he is their top asset, of course, and they need to make a move.
This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth, joined by Adam Vinken of The Athletic. I completely agree with you that Matthias Ekholm is the number one trade chip for this team, and that they have to maximize on this opportunity to get a haul in return. I mean, the initial thought that you put out there a few weeks ago when it was looking more and more like the Preds were trending to be sellers was just a first round pick and a prospect. But if they can get two prospects and a first round pick, I get it. Preds fans, they don't want to trade any players off of this core. They would be disappointed to see Matthias Ekholm go. But with the fact that this cupboard is so bare for the Nashville Predators, comparatively speaking to the rest of the NHL and other teams that have brighter futures with a bunch of rookies and prospects in their system that they feel great about, this, to me, feels like a no-brainer for the Nashville Predators to maximize the opportunity to get at least 2 to 3 assets, if not more, out of Matthias Ekholm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Matthias Ekholm is number one on the Athletic's NHL trade deadline big board. He is also, last time I checked, number one on TSN's trade bait board, which is curated by Frank Saravalli, who's also very much in the know. So Matthias Ekholm, throughout the league, might be the trade deadline acquisition. Think about how much he can help a team that's challenging for a Stanley Cup. Think about how he would look on the Boston Bruins. Think about how he might look on the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, these, you know, those are teams that are going for it. And Matthias Ekholm might be that quote unquote piece that puts them over the top. You know, defensemen like Matthias Ekholm do not grow on trees. 6'4", 215-pound defenseman who can handle the puck, who can suppress shots, who can play on the power play, who can play on the penalty kill. Those are hard to find. And the Predators have developed one, and it will be hard to see him go in such a fashion, in such unceremonious fashion. But for the long-term betterment of the franchise in terms of building up their prospect pool, it's a no-brainer, like you said, for them to trade Ekholm.
So, Adam, I'm glad you brought up the Athletic trade big board, because Matthias Ekholm was on the original edition of the big board. Mikael Granlund was also on the original edition of the trade big board just a week or two ago. And they came out with version 2 here this week. Ekholm was on it. Granlund was on it. Forsberg was on the original edition of the big board, but was not on the trade big board this time around. David Poile came on this radio station last week with Darren Donick and Chase during his weekly segment. I'm sure everybody has heard the clip by now, but if you haven't, Chase McCabe asked David Poile about Philip Forsberg potentially being an untouchable for the trade deadline, and here was that back and forth between Chase and David Poile.
David, as you know, there are a lot of insiders or experts around the league, and this time of year they report untouchable lists for certain teams. Do you have a personal untouchable list for your team, and is Philip Forsberg on that list?
I try to be I try to be open with, you know, with everybody, because you're exchanging information. You want to hear what people have to say, so you don't want to just set up necessarily barriers to any conversation. Having said that, I really don't think that Philip Forsberg is going to be a guy that we have any interest in trading at this time.
That was David Poile last week with Darren Donick and Chase talking about Philip Forsberg. And Adam, I've been extremely vocal on not only this program but this station about how I don't feel like the Predators should trade Philip Forsberg, not at the trade deadline and not really anytime soon if Philip Forsberg feels like he wants to stick around beyond his current contract, which it is identical to Matthias Ekholm, where it goes through next season. Philip Forsberg, he's in his prime. He's a goal scorer that has been rare for this franchise to find. If you trade Philip Forsberg, you're just going to try to go out and find another Philip Forsberg. He sells tickets. He's a reason why fans watch. In my opinion, Adam, Philip Forsberg should be a pillar of this team alongside Roman Josi for years to come. And that comes with the asterisk of assuming that Philip Forsberg wants to stick around long-term.
And I wrote a story about this a couple of weeks ago. And I think it's within reason for Philip Forsberg, especially if he continues to play the way he's been playing this season, to command a cap hit of $9 million on this next contract. When you think about the other contracts on the books in Nashville, you look at the forwards, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, the highest paid forwards on the team, $8 million each. Philip Forsberg is more valuable to this team than either of them. So I would say that he is worth more than $8 million per season. And I think he could get up to nine. I really do think he could. And it goes back to your point about Ryan Ellis and whether or not it meant not being able to afford Matthias Ekholm. You know, will the Predators be able to afford Philip Forsberg's next contract? Will they have to make a big move to create that space? We saw it a couple of years ago when the Predators traded PK Subban to free up the cap space to sign Matt Duchene. Will the Predators have to make a similar move to re-sign Philip Forsberg? You know, I was open to the idea of trading Philip Forsberg. I didn't think it was likely, and David Poile seemed to throw cold water on any of those rumors in that clip with Darren Donick and Chase. But, you know, I think it comes down to what that contract is, because he can sign starting this summer. And I'll be interested to know if he sees a long-term future with this team, if this team is going to be rebuilding or retooling or whatever you want to say, and there might be some down years involved. Does Philip Forsberg want to sign his prime years away to a team that's not going to be competing for a Stanley Cup? I mean, those are conversations that need to be had. But Philip Forsberg has been one of the few entertaining pieces of this team night in and night out. So I completely understand why the Predators would want to hold on to him.
Coming up next here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, we'll discuss something that I feel like is a pretty big deal for the National Hockey League. That's next on Preds Insiders. Ryan Porth alongside Adam Vingan of The Athletic. And it is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Yes, one of the best theme songs in all of sports television, the NHL theme on ESPN. It is being brought back to life starting in the fall of 2021. That is this fall. The NHL is going to be back on ESPN. It is all part of a new 7-year agreement between the two entities where games will be on ESPN, ABC, and there is a heavy emphasis on streaming with the new NHL ESPN contract as well. This is Preds Insiders, Ryan Porth and Adam Vingan here with you on this Tuesday evening. And Adam, I don't know about you, but when the news came out last week, it started to trickle out first from Chris Johnston with Sportsnet. We've heard whispers for a long time about the NHL getting back with the ESPN in some form or fashion. I did not think it was going to be this big of a deal, but the NHL and ESPN, they're back together starting with the 2021-22 season. And in my opinion, Adam, this is a big, big deal for the National Hockey League to get their product back on ESPN in a big way and make ESPN focus on their product, because a lot of average sports fans watch ESPN and whatever ESPN is talking about, they end up probably watching, and if they're talking about hockey more, I don't think that does the sport any wrong.
No, absolutely not. And I was very excited as well. You know, some of my earliest hockey watching memories involve games on ESPN. So as you said, some of the particulars of this deal, starting with the 2021-22 season, four of the next seven, I believe, Stanley Cup finals will be broadcast on ABC/ESPN. A heavy emphasis on streaming, as you mentioned. ESPN Plus will stream more than 1,000 live NHL games, including 75 national games per season produced by ESPN and streamed exclusively on both ESPN Plus and Hulu. So that means the end of NHL TV, as we know it, on NHL.com. But I'm really excited about this. I'm looking forward to seeing the product. I wonder what it could mean for those broadcasts. Our friend at The Athletic and frequent guest on 102.5, Richard Deitch, had a column last week following the announcement, talking to Gary Thorne, of course, the voice of ESPN Hockey, who is a free agent, I believe, on the broadcasting market. Previously was calling Orioles games for Masson, but said he would love to be involved. And I would love to hear Gary Thorne back in the booth. Like I was talking about ESPN having a big role in some of my early hockey watching memories, Gary Thorne and Bill Clement in the broadcast booth. They were great. But it's also an opportunity to get some new voices in there as well, some diverse voices. I think I saw a video on Instagram or Twitter last week about Stephen A. Smith getting really excited about hockey. And I know we all had a laugh about that because, you know, Stephen A. Smith and hockey go together like, I don't know, what are two things that don't go together? Oil and water? Is that the saying?
Sure.
Sure, let's go with that. Peanut butter and bacon. Well, I think Elvis liked peanut butter and bacon, but I don't. But he was really excited about it. And you know what? That's a good thing. That's a good thing that Stephen A. Smith is excited, because that's what ESPN can do for hockey. It can get those casual fans, those average sports fans who do not have, you know, NHL TV or NBC Sports Network to watch hockey. And to have someone like Stephen A. Smith, who is incredibly popular, talking about hockey, that can get people in the door. So I really do think that this is a win-win-win. I think that's what Gary Bettman said, or somebody on that conference call said, and I completely agree. I'm very excited to see ESPN back in the game of hockey.
And it sounds like there's going to be a Thursday night weekly broadcast for the NHL on ESPN, so that will be cool. I'm sure, Adam, between ESPN and ABC, they will continue what NBC's been doing for years, which, and they've gotten better at it in the last couple of years, but really focusing on in on Buffalo and New York and Pittsburgh and Detroit and Washington and Philly and all the big markets. Feel like this is an opportunity for ESPN to help the NHL really boost the platform of some certain stars that you may not see on an everyday basis on NBC or on ESPN in today's world. I mean, you think about Nathan MacKinnon in Colorado. You think about Connor McDavid in Edmonton. I know Connor McDavid is all over the place on social media, but you can, if you're ESPN and the NHL together, you can take Connor McDavid's star maybe to another level by marketing him a little bit more. Auston Matthews in Toronto. There are a ton of young stars in the National Hockey League, and I feel like this is a great opportunity for the league to take those stars and elevate them to a new level. Not to the extent of what the NBA is, because the NBA is such a star-driven league to the point where it's almost makes me want to throw up sometimes. But the NHL has a great opportunity here to strike with ESPN.
Yes, absolutely. You think about the teams that are most often on NBC or NBC Sports Network, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Pittsburgh Penguins. You think about the New York Rangers, a lot of the original six type markets. I think ESPN can really differentiate itself in the hockey world by focusing more on those teams and players that do not get as much national attention, many of whom and many of which you just listed. The Predators, leading into, over the past few years have been getting more national games because they've been a great team. They haven't been as prevalent on national TV lately, but it would be a good opportunity for them. It'd be a great opportunity to market a player like Roman Josi, an incredibly marketable player. I mean, he's great. He's fashionable. He's kind. What's not to like about Roman Josi? He's Swiss. Not too many Swiss people on ESPN, unless Roger Federer is playing in a Grand Slam tournament. So there you go. I think this is really a great opportunity for the game of hockey in the United States. I'm really looking forward to this.
So you mentioned earlier Gary Thorne and Bill Clement. I'll always remember too, Steve Levy and Barry Melrose, and they continued that relationship even after ESPN and ABC no longer carried games. Steve Levy and Barry Melrose would always be on SportsCenter together, the Levy Lounge, and be together at the Stanley Cup Final. Who knows with Steve Levy and the fact that he's on Monday Night Football, whether or not he's going to be able to call NHL games as well, maybe in the second half of hockey seasons. But would love to see Steve Levy and Barry Melrose joined up together again. And just cannot wait for the NHL to return to ESPN.
We all sit here on pins and needles. Very excited.
So, well, Adam, that does it for another thrilling edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you again for your time this evening. And we will see what happens Thursday night as the Preds next play against the Florida Panthers.
Always a pleasure, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks, as always, to Adam Vingan of The Athletic for joining us here on Preds Insiders. Again, Thursday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday night. First two games against Florida, the third against Dallas. That is the end of this road trip for the Nashville Predators before they return home against the Detroit Red Wings next week. Now, those games are coming up starting Thursday, but tomorrow night, Smashville Live, Ryan Johansson and Eli Tolvanen will be joining Chase McCabe and Chris Mason. Be sure to not only be listening on ESPN 102.5 The Game, but if you're in front of a tablet, your phone, computer, what have you, you can watch on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and thegamenashville.com. Always fun to watch Smashville Live with the gang. And again, Ryan Johansson and Eli Tolvanen. Tolvanen's been very hot here lately for the Nashville Predators. They will be the player guests for the Nashville Predators on Smashville Live tomorrow night. That is starting at 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For Adam Vinkin, I'm Ryan Poore. Thanks so much for listening to Preds Insiders this evening. We'll be back next Monday night right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.